verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm obviously going to take a lot of things out, but what I felt urged to touch on today was the necessity of separation. So I've entitled this The Necessity of Separation. And, let me just first of all ask this. Why should we, as Christians, be separated? Joe?
Influence.
We talked Sunday, or at least the men did. We talked Sunday during Sunday school. One of the things that I said is unbelievers know exactly how a Christian should talk, knows exactly how a Christian should walk, and knows exactly what Christians do. They know this. And many, there's been some times, and I know it's happened to me, I may have done something wrong, and then I've had a soldier come up and say, oh, so you say you're a Christian. I do something totally wrong, and I admit that. But then they come up and they say, oh, and you're a Christian, and I'm supposed to listen to you about God? There we go. Hence the reason for separation. Why should we be separated? They're really quick. I've got eight things. Separation is obedience to God. Okay, if we look at Romans chapter 16, I probably should have marked these and printed it out. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Within this passage right there, God is telling us, identify those people that are causing division or offense. And then what does it say? It says, avoid them. Okay? So he tells us to avoid them. He goes on that they don't serve Christ. What they're doing is they're serving themselves. Okay? God doesn't ask his people to separate if they feel inclined towards such practice. God simply commands separation. Okay? Number two, separation is love for Christ. John 14:15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Then we go down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So, you know, if we love Christ, we're going to obey what he tells us with a loving heart. In many times we can see those people that go out and they try to, you know, they check that block. Oh, I'm going to do this because I have to. And we can recognize that based on their speech. But many times, you know, but in the reverse of that, you know, I'm going to go on visitation. Let's pray we win somebody to the Lord. Is there not a difference? You know, it's, hey, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go on visitation because, I mean, I signed up for it and I have to. As compared to, let's go on visitation and let's see if we can win somebody for the Lord. There's a difference. One is a check the block. One is love. Okay, and we do those things because we love him. Okay? I always relate this to a husband and wife situation. You know, and I always, you know, I'm always speaking to the guys. Guys, why do we do things for our wives? When we were dating our wives, why did we do things for them? Because we loved them. Or at least I hope we loved them. But no, serious. We do things for our spouses because we love them. Our spouses ask us to do things, and we do it because we love them. I was just told the other day, actually it was today, I was talking to somebody and I told them that we were going to do something for our 32nd wedding anniversary and we're doing a lot of traveling, and they go, you know, that's, you know, for empty nesters, that's rare. And I said, we've been at it for 32 years. I kind of love my wife. She kind of loves me. I don't know why. That same example applies to God. That same example applies to how we feel about Christ, how we feel about God. We obey him because we love him. Number three, separation is pleasing to God. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. This here is part of the message to the church at Ephesus. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hath found them liars. And then we also look at verse 6. It says, But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And then we look down to 14, chapter 14 through 16. But I have this is kind of a contrast, and this is the letter to the church at Pergamos, and it says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit sacrifices." So we see two things. The message to the church at Ephesus is, you love me. I know thy works. I know what you've done. I've seen you take people that say they are apostles and try them against my word and find them, for the lack of words, find them lacking. Okay? And then he loves that. He appreciates that. And then we have this letter the other letter that is, you know, I've got a few things against you. You've let things slip. Okay? You've let things slip. Here we see Christ's attitude towards those who practice discernment and separation towards those who do not. He commands the church at Ephesus, he commends the church at Ephesus for practicing this ministry, and rebukes the church at Pergamos for not doing so. Number four, like I said, I'm going quick. Number four, separation is a way of protection. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 13. But take heed, lest any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of them which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Make sure I'm not going over on that. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. What he's talking about here is, and I want to choose my words very carefully. Actually, let me just read what I have here. First, separation protects me from those who are weaker than me. Paul is talking about here is eating meat that may have been used as an offering to idols. You know, do you eat it? Do you not? You know, it goes right along with, having a Christmas tree or something along that lines. In order to help explain this, if you have a Christmas tree, does that mean you're not saved? No. Okay? Is not having a Christmas tree mean that you're not saved or you're not right with God? No. Is one wrong over the other? No. Some people will look at, you have a Christmas tree? Others will say, you don't have a Christmas tree? What's wrong? What's going on here? Is either one of them wrong? No. One just prefers not to have one. So what in relation to this, what Paul is saying is, like, we had a Christmas tree here in the church for the first time in who knows how long, as far as I remember, ever. And I honestly think that if that Christmas tree offended anybody, Pastor would have had it taken down, or he would never have even wanted it up in the first place. Because we don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. That's what he's saying here. Okay? We don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. We can say that as far as eating, trying to bring it back to this. You know, if somebody has a problem with overindulgence of eating, do we want to invite them over for a buffet meal? You know, where it's not a problem for us, but it might be for him. We don't want to offend. We don't want them to stumble. Okay, second, we must separate from those who do not obey the word of God for the benefit of those under our watch, care, under our watch and care, who are less mature and discerned than we are. Okay, Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I've gone too far. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. I beseech you, going back again, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We must separate from those who don't obey the word of God for the benefit of those under us. If we have a young Christian that is watching everything that we do, and they see us hanging out with a group of people that smoke and drink, I mean, it could be going at, standing outside of a bar, and yet you're talking to these people that are smoking, drinking, and a young Christian that you know may go by, what's his first thought going to be? Huh? You're one of the boys. Hey, you're over there smoking and drinking too, because I didn't see you smoke, but you smell like smoke. What does that do to the spirit of a young Christian? Discourages them. Okay, so what do we, as the more mature Christian, want to ensure that we do? That we stay away from situations like that so that we don't harm that young Christian. You could be off witnessing to them, but all he's going to see is you standing outside of a bar talking to a bunch of people. That means you're getting ready to go in. Okay, it goes right along there with abstaining from all appearance of evil. Okay, third on number four, separation protects a church and group from complete leavening. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7, 5, verses 6 and 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I said 6 and 7, didn't I? Let me back up. Your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It's in order to help protect the church. Okay? Because talking about leavening the whole lump, just like we discussed through Sunday school, if one person in here has a sin and is continuing in that sin, could that person affect the church as a whole, as a body of believers? Yes. Achan. You hear pastors say, don't be that Achan. Who was Achan? After the Battle of Jericho, Achan took of the things that he was told not to. They went in, the children of Israel went into battle at a city of Ai. What happened at the city of Ai? They lost mightily, and they shouldn't have. Why? Because God pointed out somebody had a sin, and it was Achan. Okay? To protect the church. Number five, separation is a qualification for church ministry, and one way to be fully prepared for such ministries. 1 Timothy Chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection in all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, if he have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And I'm skipping a lot of other references here, but you know what I think the key to this is, you know, sacrifice is a qualification, or separation is a qualification for ministry. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the pastor. It doesn't matter if you're the deacon. It doesn't matter if you're the Sunday school teacher. Would it be right for any one of us to go to a bar and sit in a bar and have somebody see us? Would that be of any benefit? Again, it's that whole separation thing, you know, avoiding all appearance of evil. You know, if you see your church leadership doing wrong, what is that going to do to you as a follower? It's going to, again, discourage you. So again, you know, the point is, my note I have written down, contention for the faith and separation from error is not only a good thing, but is actually a divine qualification for ministry. It is also the means whereas the man of God prepares himself for God's service. There, again, the whole separation, abstaining from all appearance of evil, it, you know, for the church leadership, that, you know, that separation, that clinging and looking towards God allows us to continue to grow towards God. And it isn't even the church leadership. It's actually all of us, all Christians. Because, you know, qualification for Christian ministry. What exactly is Christian ministry? What exactly is Christian ministry? Serving God. Doesn't have to be a Sunday school teacher. Going off to witness to somebody, doing evangelism, our daily walk. Okay, number six, separation is love for man. Paul's love of man moved him to preach to them the whole counsel of God. His desire to lead them to the true Savior and salvation. Colossians chapter 1. Not too far off. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus. So, you know, Paul's love towards men moved him to preach to them the whole counsel of God. Again, his desire is to lead them to the true Savior and salvation. You know, I'll stay on track. All right, number seven, separation is wisdom. Proverbs, book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Verses 15 and 16. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. As a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confronted. And there's other verses that I have with that. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 and then chapter 12 verse 8. Wisdom is used 54 times throughout the book of Proverbs. How important, and there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and it's mentioned 51 times. So on an average, how many times is it mentioned within the book? or almost two times per chapter. How important is that word? God had made, you know, Solomon obviously knew that that word was very, you know, very important. Wisdom, it used 54 times in the book. Within this book, wisdom is understanding the knowledge of the Word of God. To exercise doctrinal discernment and to avoid error is a mark of wisdom. You know, as we go through life, are we not to use discernment? Are we not to use our wisdom in the things that we do? Are we not to use wisdom in the decisions that we make? Okay, think about the decisions that you make. You know, are they within God's will? How do we know what God's will is? Studying and discerning what God is saying. Okay, so separation is wisdom. And then finally, separation is the way of delight. Proverbs 24, verse 24 and 25. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Okay, separation is the way of delight. Do not fear man and his threats. Don't follow popular philosophy. Numbers, another verse within there is Numbers chapter 25, verses 5 through 13. You know, don't follow this world's philosophy. Okay? And I'm trying to get the wording right. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Think about that. We are in this world, we are not of this world. Separation. Some things to think about. Would you want your pastor drinking and smelling like alcohol when you come in on Sunday mornings? Why? Because he's a man of God, and that's just wrong. God says, don't. Do you want your deacons on drugs? Now I'm talking the illegal ones. I'm talking the illegal ones. Do you want your deacons on drugs? No. Do you want your music director, or would you want your music director to have a mohawk haircut? Think about it. We choose to separate from the world. The world is God's enemy. If we are to be a testimony of Christ, we cannot and should not act like the world. Brother Joe, would you close us in prayer, please? Amen. And we will see you Sunday.